I'm John Kroll. Today on No Limits, we're going to talk about something new under the sun. Eskenazi Health has expanded the definition of what a hospital might be. With a sky farm and a common ground designed to bring people in for community and cultural activities, Eskenazi has opened the doors to spaces and places once thought closed. We'll talk about all of this with an old friend of No Limits, Dr. Lisa Harris, Eskenazi CEO. Please join the conversation. Call 866-476-3881. Email nolimits@wfyi.org. Facebook is No Limits WFYI. Twitter is WFYI. Now, this news.
No Limits is made possible by Apparatus, managing IT infrastructure so companies don't have to. It's advanced IT made simple. Learn more at apparatus.net.
Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking today about the new Eskenazi Hospital. If you would like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You also can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at WFYI. Well, my guest is an old friend, a returning guest of the program, Dr. Lisa Harris, who is the CEO for Eskenazi Health. Lisa, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here this afternoon.
It's good to have you here. Before we get started, to give people kind of a taste of what we're going to be talking about, we'd like to do a story. One of the most unique features of the new Eskenazi is the rooftop garden known as the Sky Farm. WFYI's Michelle Johnson spent a little time with the Sky Farmer recently and sent this little audio postcard.
My name is Rachel White, and I am the Sky Farmer here at Eskenazi. I feel very lucky. I get to do what I love to do, and then I also get this amazing view of downtown. I've been at the Sky Farm for one season. I've been farming for several with Growing Places Indy. So we have several different lots around town, and I've helped at each one of those over the past few years. We don't use any pesticides other than like going around and pulling off the bugs ourselves. And that's kind of our base philosophy, is we take care of the soil, we take care of the plants, and then the plants will take care of us.
What are some of the special challenges of working on seven floors up from the ground in a garden?
There's a few. The biggest one is the wind, especially in the springtime. I lost several plants to the wind. I knew it was going to be an issue, I just didn't know to the extent. So what we learned is a lot of the stuff we're going to have to start from seed on the Sky Farm instead of transplanting it. So as soon as it comes out of the ground, it knows that it has to deal with the wind and will kind of bulk up a little bit.
What are you doing?
I am harvesting the kale, and this is going to the cafeteria. He just asked how long the kale lasts once I've harvested it, and well over a week, because it's so fresh. I usually take, as soon as I get it done, I take it inside and I dunk it in water 3 or 4 times just to kind of get whatever's on it off, because it's been outside for a while. Package it up and send it downstairs. Often people know what, they know what produce looks like on the shelf at a grocery store, but they often don't know what it looks like as it's growing. And that's why I put the kale right up front when you walk in, is because people know what it looks like in a bunch, but then they think it's hilarious that they look like little palm trees. And I think I like that interaction, so I'm okay with it. It's really encouraging to me for people to be so excited about vegetables. And I know that's kind of absurd, but like people will tell me, wow, that chard looks really beautiful. And I like it when people see something that maybe they didn't like when they were little as something very beautiful now, and could possibly learn to like to eat it as well. I just really like the interaction with the people and the vegetables.
And that was a report from Michelle Johnson of WFYI about the new Sky Farm at Eskenazi Health. That's a rather significant change, Lisa Harris. Could you talk a little bit? You got a Sky Farm. What other things have been changed now that are new and different at Eskenazi Health?
All right. Well, thank you, John. As we take scores of individuals on tours of the new facility, I tell them that to really appreciate why we're so thrilled with our new environment, you have to understand where we came from. Mm-hmm. So, for example, on our old campus, we had a hallway. It was called Sunshine Hall, and it was named Sunshine Hall because that was about the only place where light streamed in to our old campus. And one of the defining features of our new hospital and campus is that light streams into every nook and cranny. That was something that we were very focused on. We wanted patients to and visitors to have light-filled environments, and we also wanted that for our staff. We also are building on the Legacy Art Project. So, you know, in 1914, 100 years ago, 100 years from the year we moved, T.C. Steele and his group of Hoosier artists painted these wonderful murals on the walls of City Hospital because they knew then what decades of research have since proved, and that is that art improves the healing process. It improves outcomes. So we've enlivened that that legacy art collection with a philanthropically supported public art collection, putting art where you least expect it, you know, starting with the side of the parking garage. We wanted this not only to be rich with the visual arts, but also we wanted to enliven the space with music. And with the generous support of Marianne Tobias, we have an endowed music program that started with the gift of this fabulous grand piano that sits in our concourse. And we said, you know, if we're going to have a piano, it's going to be one that is going to be played by everyone. And so that piano draws music students, draws professional musicians, it draws our physicians, our staff, and we've had patients sit down and play that piano. You've heard from Rachel on the Sky Farm. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we are working to grow a lot of the produce that we serve within the hospital, the various areas, the eating areas there. And that's anchoring an initiative to work toward even greater local procurement of the produce that we serve so that we're eating what we grow here within our community. We have all private rooms that in our old facility, about half the rooms were private. We have, you know, private rooms, plenty of room for family and to spend 24/7. There are fold out beds so that you know, they can support the healing process because we know how important that is. Thinking about this, the health of our nurses and their safety, we have lifts in every patient room because even, you know, lifting someone who is you know, normal weight takes a toll on nurses' backs over time. So this is, you know, we've designed everything with this eye toward promoting health and a sense of well-being. So that informed the design of the entire campus.
We are talking about Eskenazi Hospital, Eskenazi Health here on No Limits. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. Well, we've got an idea. I mean, this is a sort of a I'm struggling for the noun here, whether we call it a significant expansion or, you know, redefinition of what is a hospital's purpose or mission. You talk a little bit about the why. Mm-hmm. Why did you do this? Because it wasn't effortless, obviously.
Yeah. Well, I think evolution might be the
evolution,
word.
Evolution, okay.
Because as
I'll take the words.
As a hospital for everyone in our community, that is our charge. We provide care for everyone, no matter what. We have a long history of caring for the most vulnerable individuals in our community. And we started a lot of the programs that are coming to full fruition in our new campus, you know, years ago. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, we are one of the only, you know, two-level adult trauma or adult level one trauma centers. We're the regional burn unit. So we, you know, when people are critically ill or seriously injured, our physicians and nurses and staff know what to do. But we also know that our biggest opportunity to improve the health and the lives of our patients, and by extension, the health and vitality of our community, is to do everything we can to work to keep people well in the first place. In fact, we know from the public health literature that everything we do in healthcare, the entire biomedical model applied to treating disease, contributes only 10% to reducing premature death. That's right, just 10%. So that says that, you know, 90% is on us. The biggest opportunity, 50%, lies in our lifestyle, our personal choices. Certainly physical activity, good nutrition, but also a rich cultural life, connection to nature, and probably most important, connection to each other, social connection. Another 20% is the environment. Clean air, clean water, certainly, but also a built environment that enables healthful behaviors. So sidewalks that are in good repair, easy access to healthful food. Then the other 20% is genetics. And we used to think that, you know, we were adopting these behaviors to mitigate against our genetic risk, and that is to a large extent true. Only about 2% of the diseases deaths in the U.S. are attributable purely to genetic diseases. Most of our genetic risk is modifiable by our behaviors.
Could you give me an example when you say a genetic risk that is modifiable?
Well, there is some genetic predisposition to obesity, mm-hmm. but that can largely be modified by how many calories we burn up and how many calories we take in. So that's one fairly easy example. Some may have a genetic blueprint that makes them more susceptible to cancer, but it takes, in many cases, an environmental exposure to express that risk. So, smoking. Mm-hmm. We may have a predisposition, but avoiding smoking and other behaviors that increase the likelihood of a cancer developing is something that we can modify by the way we live.
And how do the changes that you've made at Eskenazi Health play into combating that other 90% or dealing? Combating is not the right word choice, but meeting that challenge.
Well, again, as we approach the design of the new hospital and campus, and actually also our newest health center at 38th and Moeller Road, we put everything we know about promoting health and wellness into the design. So that notion of wanting to create an environment that supports a sense of health and well-being and vitality, energy, optimism. We built that into the design so that then we would have this framework to build on. So that's why we have the natural light everywhere. That's why we have these carefully chosen and positioned pieces of art. That's why music fills the atrium. It's why we created the common ground between the three buildings as a gathering space. That is something that we wanted to give to our community, and for that community that with 85% affirmative vote said that we need a new hospital for everyone in Indianapolis. So that is our opportunity to create that social connection, to draw people from across the diverse landscape of our local community, bring people in to that important connection. I think a lot of the healing comes when we are in connection with each other. And so we have space that is informally accessed. There's water, there's food that draws people to that space. And then we also are working on deliberate programming to engage the community and bring people together who otherwise might not have necessarily found reason to get into a conversation.
How do you envision that common ground being used?
Well, it won't be used this way today, but last Tuesday, last Tuesday we had yoga classes and we had a fitness boot camp outdoors in the common ground.
It was a beautiful day.
We'll do that indoors today.
It would be a soggy experience.
It would be a little wet. Yeah. And I joke, I'm a runner. I say, there's no bad weather, just bad gear. But exercising on wet grass is a whole other
wet,
thing.
Wet, cold grass.
So we will be doing that indoors today. But we have had dancing demonstrations. We have had musical performances. We've had spoken word artists. We've had a a band, you know, playing. In we envision film nights. We think of, you know, just think about all the things we can do, both actively and in, you know, just, you know, programs to enjoy passively. All those things we are envisioning for the space. I've been very happy to see how quickly people are embracing this. So when we have an event, for example, this wasn't.
Yeah, we'll continue after the break. We're talking about the new Eskenazi Hospital with Dr. Lisa Harris, who is the CEO. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You also can find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI. I am John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking about the new Eskenazi Hospital. My guest is Dr. Lisa Harris, who is the CEO of Eskenazi Health. And I should say, we had an audio postcard at the beginning about the Sky Farm. We also have some photos of the Sky Farm that's posted on Facebook and our other social media sites, so I would encourage you to look at those maybe while we're talking here, and you'll have a better idea. Before we went to the break, Lisa, you were talking about how that common ground is going to be used, and particular about some of the opportunities mm-hmm. people have to engage there.
Right, we were talking about some of the programs that we have mm-hmm. Deliberately set up, again, with the...
Not so good for yoga today, but there are other options.
But the support of just a number of community partners. So I was starting to talk about the music program. Then we envision on days other than the day like today, a lot of this taking place outdoors, and indeed we have had performances outdoors. We also have been fortunate to be able to host both students of University of Indianapolis mm-hmm. who come and perform. We've had members of the Indianapolis Chamber Orchestra, the Indianapolis Children's Choir, a finalist of the International Violin Competition played, and most recently we hosted the first of the finalists of the American Pianists Association Jazz Competition. And this was very well mm-hmm. attended, and these concerts are free. And we will be hosting, this is part of the competition, is to have public performances. So these performances are free. We had lots of people gather in the concourse, and also, you know, coming from the various patient areas, people are coming down to listen. So there's a lot of things that we're doing deliberately, but people are also finding their way to the space informally. So on the weekends, you'll see people having picnics. We have lots of spaces for bicycles, for securing bicycles, and showers. And so there, you know, we put a lot of thought into the design of the campus to try to support activity through the community and bringing people together.
We are talking about the new Eskenazi Hospital with all of its, I would say, somewhat evolutionary was, I think, the term we decided, new features. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Twitter at WFYI, or you can do what a listener named Stephen has done. Reach out to us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI. Stephen's question is the Eskenazi Sky Farm open to the public yet?
Yes, it is. It is open from dawn to dusk through the week.
Okay.
And we will be expanding as we get experience with it, but it is open to the public, and we encourage people to come up to meet Rachel, to see what we're growing up.
How did you arrive at the idea of a Sky Farm? I mean, not you individually, but I'm assuming you collectively. You're part of a team.
Well,
but
interestingly, the seeds for the Sky Farm were planted on our old campus. Okay. So several years ago, as part of our approach to employ mm-hmm. the wellness and the well-being of our staff, and we can talk a little bit more about where we want to take that. But as part of this, we cut up a green space that we had on our old campus into 6x6 plots and made them available to mm-hmm. individuals to tend. And that, you know, led, you know, one thing leads to another. Next thing you know, we're growing vegetables. Then we're hosting a farmer's market. Then we, you know, have a food truck duos coming in and serving great food. We're having cooking demonstrations. So that had its roots there. And that's what I'm talking about, an evolution. That's mm-hmm. that's what I'm wanting to convey, that a lot of this, you know, the ideas were planted there. But the notion of taking it to the top of our outpatient care center was local landscape architect Eric Fulford's idea. And you may know that Eric unfortunately passed away before the Sky Farm was completed, but it was his idea to take the employee tended gardens that mm-hmm. we had started on our old campus and take them to the next level, literally and figuratively.
Is this a common thing for a hospital, or is it? Are you the only one?
I don't think we're the only one. I think there probably are few that have. I don't know that there are any that are as deliberately working to grow produce that we serve within the hospital campus. There are, you know, I think many rooftop gardens spring up all over the place. That's
for hospitals, though, I guess.
I think some in hospitals, but it's still relatively rare. And again, this notion of deliberately planning for and growing the food and creating this loop. You know, we want to expand this to a larger local procurement, so that, you know, we can't grow all the produce we need on the 5,000 square foot, even with Rachel's great abilities. It's amazing. We were joking as people were anticipating the Sky Farm. You know, what are we going to grow there? We said, well, you know, it may take us a while to figure out what grows well on top of a, you know, on the seventh story of a building. And the answer is, if you've got Rachel as your Sky Farmer and you've chosen the soil well and you have a great summer like we did this year with mild temperatures and plenty of rain, everything grows well. We've already harvested in the first growing season over 2,000 pounds of produce, but that still doesn't, that wouldn't serve
all
of our needs.
How long does it feed all of your patients?
that will not get us to everyone, but we would like to get as close as we can to serving fresh local produce. And so this is the hub, you know, this is the nidus of this effort, but we're taking that and then starting to have conversations with local farmers to see how, you know, how we can create more of that that loop. Because as the health system, we need a reliable supply. The mm-hmm. farmers, the growers need a reliable demand. Mm-hmm. And once we've worked that out, then we, you know, you can scale it. We can take that model to other organizations and businesses. And pretty soon we could create a situation here in Indianapolis where we are eating mostly food that we grow locally.
What was the toughest part of this vision, you know, as you were working through kind of redefining what a hospital should be? What was the toughest part of it to execute? Other than presumably raising the money.
You know, to be honest, it all has gone much more smoothly than I think, certainly than I imagined. I'll try to think of something that went poorly, but to flip that question a little bit, what has really amazed me is how quickly people have come to this notion. So as I'm out talking about, you know, talking about what we're doing here in the community, I, you know, work to first establish that, yes, we still know how to, you know, treat disease. We still do that. But I recognize pretty quickly as, you know, I'm out, I'd see people and the audience, as soon as I'd get into this notion of our business in health shouldn't just be about treating disease. It should be about keeping well. I'm seeing, you know, heads nodding enthusiastically everywhere. So I have the sense that there's maybe an appreciation that healthcare is coming around to what individuals have known all along, that that the most important thing we can do is work to help people stay well. And so I think I have been pleased about how quickly our community has embraced this notion. And, you know, the as we talked about, the art, the music, the common ground, the all the features have all are all supported by philanthropy. You know, folks have asked, was that money that could have gone to a clinical program or a you know, a new piece of technology? And our response that I think people appreciate is that this is central. This environment and what we're doing, the message we're sending, is as central to our job of promoting health and responding to the health needs of our community as anything else we do, and from the, you know, the simplest prevention to the most high-tech surgery.
Well, and what I see here is that, you know, even in talking about dealing with the 90% rather than the 10%, I mean, in some ways, what you're really talking about is redefining the mission of a hospital so that it's less about combating illness than it is about promoting health, which to some people may seem like just an exercise in semantics. But I think there is a difference in focus and a difference in approach as I'm listening to you.
Exactly. I think what I'm saying is that I have been very gratified that people seem very quickly to appreciate that and to recognize the value of what we're doing. As an example, you know, mm-hmm. So obviously some, you know, people end up needing a hospital. People get sick. They get pneumonia. You know, they need treatment in a hospital. But the way the art can have an influence, even when, you know, someone has reached the point of being seriously ill enough that they need to be in a hospital, is that we know for every day that a patient lies in a hospital bed, it takes 3 days once they're home to get back to their previous level of functioning. There's just a great degree of deconditioning that happens when you're just lying, you know, lying in bed. And the art, the Sky Farm, the common ground, the music, all those things serve to give people a reason to want to get out of bed. So our physical therapists love it. They have help in convincing someone to take that first step, you know, first sit up in bed, then sit up at the edge of the bed, and then take a few steps around the room, and then
go
out in the
hall.
Let's go see that wooden sculpture.
Someone's playing the piano.
Yeah, I hear music.
That sounds fabulous.
Exactly.
And you can get them outdoors and listen to a concert. We are talking about the new Eskenazi Hospital here on No Limits. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You also can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. Caller, I understand you've got a question. Hello?
Hello.
Hi. What's on your mind?
Oh, hi. I'm a nurse and have been for a long time, and I went to California. I mean, I lived here all my life, but worked with Deepak Chopra for 8 years, and teach yoga and meditation and Ayurveda and all these things. And I've been back for like 10 years, and I kept waiting for Indianapolis to open up to energy medicine and all these things, and I had no idea that Eskenazi Hospital was based on all of these wonderful modalities and healing and principles. And I just would love to help in any way I can and be of service, because you can't imagine. It's just like the doors are opening. And anyway, I have a lot of joy in my heart just hearing this.
Well, thank you very much for the call. And Lisa.
You're making my heart sing. This gives me an opportunity to talk about what we're going to do on this canvas that we've laid. And this gets back to the notion of an appreciation that as healthcare providers, you know, physicians, nurses, staff, we can't hope to effectively care for patients and to help you know individuals take care of themselves if we don't first know how to effectively care for ourselves. And I think healthcare workers are notorious for, you know, throwing themselves into the fray, for working past the point of stress. And along with that can come burnout, you know, compassion fatigue. And so the first big thing, the next big thing we're going to be doing in this environment that we're working to create is we are launching a very deliberate program of self-care for all of our staff. And this will be a very intense training, and all the aspects of self-care will be in partnership with the Center for Mind-Body Medicine, focusing on nutrition, physical activity, also mindfulness, focus. And with the goal then ultimately to be a health system that's recognized as having improved the health of its community, starting with itself. So this is something that's going to be a very big part of what we're doing over the next several years. Again, laying that foundation of self-care before we can expect to be the most effective advocates and care providers and coaches, mentors for our patients in their efforts to care for themselves.
It's obvious you're passionate about this. How much of this is you? I mean, how much of this this vision here, and I guess to some degree, I mean, presumably you went to medical school. How did you make the transition from doing that to being CEO and having to worry about things like Sky Farms and community centers and really selling a different kind of vision for what a hospital could be?
Well, it is the case that when I thought about what I wanted to be when I grew up, I had for some reason as a child adopted healthful behaviors, and I knew I felt pretty good, and I saw all around me people who didn't look like they felt so well, and I thought that maybe I could do something. There might be something I could do to help. Mm-hmm. And my dad, I shared this plan with my dad, and he said, "You know, honey, I think people will pay more attention to you if you have an MD after your name." I think he wanted to make sure I had a roof over my head. Mm-hmm. But I love medicine. I still practice, mm-hmm. and I never let go of this notion that that we have much more opportunity on the front end than when we're working, trying to keep people falling into the stream than just pulling them out and, you know, patching them up and moving on. But it is not even close to just about the vision I have. At Eskenazi Health, what this positive energy, this vitality, yeah. we feed on each other. So, for example, the Sky Farm, that was one of our employees, Mary Robbins Nierste, who's a mm-hmm. nurse who ran our wellness program, is the person who got the idea of those employee-tended gardens. We have a physical therapist, Ryan Boschrab and Brian Schrader, who are working. They're the ones who are just, exploding this notion of activity. And it's just taking off in amazing ways. And those are just a couple of examples of the people who within the energy that just, it's what goes around comes around in a very positive, energizing, forward-moving way, and I'm just delighted to be part of it.
Was there any idea as all of this, or suggestion that when you were sort of thinking about ways you could redo the idea of a hospital, that you just said, "Whoa, no, that's too far out of the box"? what were the ones that you rejected?
Oh,
or were there none? Did they all make it into the master plan?
I think
pretty much
we laid the foundation we wanted to lay. We're not done.
Okay.
We're not done.
Okay. Well, we are talking about the new Eskenazi Hospital here on No Limits. My guest is Dr. Lisa Harris, who is the CEO of Eskenazi Health. You can join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI, or tumble upon us on Twitter at WFYI. I am John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking today about the new Eskenazi Hospital with its Common Ground and Sky Farm and art and many other interesting features. My guest is Dr. Lisa Harris, who is the CEO of Eskenazi Health. And I got to ask, I mean, what you've laid out here is, and I'm about to use a loaded word, I realize, is a more holistic approach, obviously, to human health. And the medical profession has not always been open to non-traditional concepts or things that can't. Did you get any pushback when you were thinking about this from within the profession, from doctors, old line doctors just saying, oh, come on, art, why?
Yeah, well, again, I think when we talk specifically about art, we have this legacy program that dates to 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. So we know that we had a forward-thinking community then.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think internally, and that's what, you know, I was talking about, just we were very careful with the message of, you know, certainly recognizing that it is the case that we, you know, care for some of our community's most vulnerable residents, that we, you know, we can treat disease mm-hmm. with the best of them. But the biggest opportunity is to work on the front end. And I think what has been gratifying to me is how, by and large, our medical staff has bought into this. And again, you know, we see some of the physicians playing the piano in their spare time, you know, in the evening. We see nurses sitting out by the limestone falls that were donated by St. Margaret's Hospital Guild, having a moment of respite before they, you know, go home and take on the duties of parenting and all the other responsibilities that they have. And so I think that we embrace this first as humans with these needs that we know are there.
And how about the message? I mean, just in this conversation, you've mentioned, you know, several people who have donated or helped provide space or helped provide services. How important is that message behind all of this, that, you know, that the community is supportive? There is a community of support for healthy living. How significant is that?
Well, thank you. That was enormously significant. When we announced the gift from Sid and Lois Eskenazi, we announced that to a packed auditorium on our old campus. And I think that was certainly a defining moment when our entire staff recognized that people of the Eskenazi's accomplishment, their compassion, their generosity, their stature in the community, that they believed in what we were doing and got me. I think that's one of the one of the things that was very much a defining moment and a validation of, you know, the work we do and the approach that we take to that work. And that, you know, as you know, multiple gifts followed in the wake of that extraordinary gift from Sid and Lois Eskenazi, for which we are delighted to have named our health system and to be moving forward. They really have embraced us as family from the beginning. They are their entire family has been involved with all of our, you know, celebrating our milestones along the way. They've in no way, you know, telling us how to provide care or trying to tell us what to do, but celebrating our progress.
Are there parts, you know, you've mentioned earlier in the show that the art is sort of omnipresent, that it's even in the garage and parking garages and all of that. Are there places where you want that, I'm trying to think, those influences not to be part of the experience at Eskenazi? Is there any place that there is not art or you don't want the community spirit to flow into?
Well, we have certainly the, what we call, you know, the public areas, and then the staff, that we have more utilitarian areas behind the scenes, you know, and
which is the plain sterile white that
we
use to.
Yeah, exactly. And that also helps us you know, as healthcare workers sort of modify behavior when we're there, you know, with those we're caring for, and when we're, you know, maybe behind the scenes letting off a little bit of steam, you know, that's completely natural. But we did leave many areas untouched. We decided, you know, just as when you move into a new mm-hmm. home, it takes time. You know, you have ideas about what you might want to do that may, after you've lived there for a while, may have turned out to be very bad ideas.
And and circumstances and the way people change.
Exactly. So we knew there were some areas where art was part of the initial plan. So the architecture and the art were planned together. So there would be one cohesive composition. But we left a lot. We left a lot to do, to wait until we had some experience in the new facility mm-hmm. and on the campus, so we could see where people naturally gather, see how the sun, you know, yeah. hits in a certain area. And we are now starting another phase where we will be, you know, thinking about where else might we want to put our, we're committed to all original art and supporting local as well as artists from across the country.
We are talking about the new Eskenazi Hospital here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. Dorothy, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you.
Certainly. What's on your mind?
Well, I was wondering if they practice any complementary modalities at the Eskenazi, such as like acupuncture or homeopathics, anything like that.
Good question. Thanks very much for the call, Dorothy.
Thank you very much. Yes, we have a very well-established integrative pain center that brings all modalities to managing chronic pain. And we have a physician, Dr. Palmer Mackay, who is an internal medicine physician and who also practices acupuncture. So he has multiple modalities at his disposal. He has a whole team of individuals with, you know, motivational interviewing, a lot of behavioral therapy. And in a lot of cases with chronic pain, in some cases the pain itself is going to be there. It can be diminished, but what we can most offer patients is a way to live well with the pain. And so we have great outcomes in this program. First of all, we have reduced the use of narcotic analgesics among our patients by 50%. And I think most listeners on this program are probably well aware of the problem of opioid addiction and opiate-related deaths across the U.S. And while we've reduced the use of opioids, we have increased the use of non-narcotic medications to treat pain. But we've also improved by 30% patients saying that the pain doesn't interfere with their life, that they mm-hmm. have found other ways to manage pain, and that they're able to do the things that are important to them. So that is one area. Obviously, within our Midtown Community Mental Health Center, we bring lots of cognitive therapies to bear. I should also say that, recognizing the importance of mental health to physical health, we deliberately screen all adult patients presenting for primary care throughout all of our health centers across Indianapolis for depression and substance abuse, because we realize that we can't hope to help patients manage complex illnesses like heart failure, diabetes, high blood pressure, coronary artery disease, asthma, if they have unrecognized and untreated depression. So we deliberately screen, and we have mental health providers in all of our primary care sites, so that when we find someone who needs help with depression or anxiety or substance abuse, we don't have to say, you know, come to see me, now you need to go to this other site across town to get care for that mm-hmm. problem. We can, as a physician, I can just walk my patient down the hall a couple of doors, and they're seeing a mental health therapist right there.
I want to ask, you know, You've talked about reduction rates in terms of the use of narcotics and all of that. What, as you were envisioning this, what were sort of the signposts that you were looking at that would define success for you? I mean, that's a, because in some ways what we're talking about here is difficult to define because you're trying to prevent certain things from happening, and if they don't happen, you can't be absolutely sure that your efforts contributed to that. But what are some of the indicators that this has been successful?
Well, you've just asked the million-dollar question, because as we believe, we do believe that it's our responsibility, that our ultimate measure of success will be that we have improved the health of our community. Mm-hmm. And there isn't necessarily one measure right now that will tell us that. But the kinds of things we're doing is in partnership with the Fairbanks School of Public Health, mm-hmm. we have embedded public health students in our newest health center as part of the medical home team. And what we're doing is having them assess the health needs of the neighborhood surrounding that health center so that we can deliberately tailor our model of care to address those needs as defined by the community, not as defined by us. Mm-hmm. And then use those same students with their expertise in the survey process to determine whether indeed we improved the health or addressed the health needs and improved the health of that surrounding community. There are other measures. You know, the reduction in opioid is mm-hmm. one very powerful one. There are measures of blood pressure, body mass index. I think we talked about our Healthy Me program, where we have free health coaching, personalized health coaching, motivational interviewing for residents of the communities surrounding our health centers and the patients served there. And of the patients who have been part of that program for over a year, 70% have maintained a greater than 7% weight loss. And mm-hmm. that's about the amount that it takes to have an impact on high blood pressure and diabetes risk. So we're measuring outcomes right now that are specific to some of the biggest health problems faced in our community, diabetes, high blood mm-hmm. pressure, heart disease, those sorts of things. But we are working now very hard to try to come up with that one measure that would tell us that we really have had that over time. This is going to take years. This is not next year or the year after. This is perhaps decades down the road, but something that tells us
this is not an immediate gratification kind of thing.
Now, one, we get the health grades. Every now and then we read the star and we find out that we still are in the lower 40 somewhere in terms of the rankings, and so those are measures that we can adopt. But I'm not sure that even those are that holy grail that we're looking for.
We are talking about the new Eskenazi Hospital here on No Limits. Charles, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Doing fine. What's on your mind?
I wanted to commend. I didn't know that the hospital that I once knew as General Hospital was going, not General Hospital, but Wisher was going to be such a fabulous establishment. I've talked to you before. My training back in the 80s, you mentioned, Doctor, that the community accepting you. I trained in comparative psychology, holistic health, or now integrative medicine. We were talking about controlling hypertension with simple things like breathing relaxation, which is now being talked about as mindfulness. Mm-hmm. I've been practicing and doing these things for 30, 40 years, and so I just had to comment that it hasn't been so the community is just now starting to be amenable to it, but these ideas have been out there for a long time, and somebody like you who has an MD who is healthy can actually help to get some of these things into the community. I have worked in a hospital in India, for example, and I had people come to me with hypertension, and in two or three sessions they go away, no hypertension, basically with just breathing relaxation, what you would call mindfulness-based scenarios. And I'm not a physician. These things need to be in the community. It's important in the community, and they need to be in the community in more ways than people being ill, which is the thing that you're bringing forth. And there are things like we teach at my nonprofit organization, but this is really good, and this kind of thing needs to be in the community. I'm actually chiming in with the nurse who spoke earlier, who's saying it's really, really nice that Indianapolis is kind of coming around, but it takes people like you and Palmer McKay, who I know, who I've met. Okay.
Well, Charles, let me give Lisa a chance to respond, because we're getting a little tight on time. But thank you very much for the call and the comments.
Well, Charles, I would just thank you for your work and for sticking it out over all those decades. And I would share your enthusiasm. I'm very excited about what I think of as a momentum that is building, a critical mass that we may actually be hitting a tipping point. And that's one of the main things I've wanted to get across, is how wonderful it's been to see how quickly our community has embraced these notions. I think we're ready for it.
We've also gotten a Facebook question from a listener named Nicole, and we've got just about a minute to deal with this. So Nicole's question is, healthcare costs are out of control. What is Eskenazi doing to control costs for patients and the community? I know that's probably more than you can do in a minute, but get a start.
I think that's pretty much what we've been talking about this last hour, that the things that we can do to work to prevent illness in the first place, to intervene quickly, cost much less than treating the consequences of chronic illness on the back end. And so everything we're doing is in service to using the resources we have most effectively to reduce the need for the expensive tests and procedures, put those resources up front where they can work not only to help people live the healthful lives they want, but also reduce our cost of providing care.
And I think that's probably a very good point for us to stop this conversation. It sounds fascinating. I mean, I would ask again real quickly, if people want to come see the Sky Farm, it's open from
dawn to dusk, Monday through Friday.
So it adjusts as the season goes along. You got a longer
daylight hours, Monday through Friday.
Don't come on December 21st, basically,
right,
or whatever. Well, Lisa Harris, I'd like to thank you very much. It's always a pleasure having you on the show, and it's been a great pleasure hearing about the new Eskenazi Hospital. I also would like to apologize to any listeners we've got that we weren't able to get to your calls or your questions. We will be talking about this some more, so I'd encourage you to call back in at another time. I'm John Kroll. You've been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producer, Shannon Cagle. Interactive Media Coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical Producer, Cedric Freeman. And Board Engineer, Don Hibschweiler. We invite you to join us each week for No Limits, made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.